Beis daf is vachim daf nun gimel, and we are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf nun beis amid beis. So this is the second Mishnah in Perek Ezeu Mekoyman. Ezeu Mekoyman discusses Ezeu Mekoyman shel zvachim, different details that relate to different types of korbanos. The Perek began with kachei kadashim, specifically the korban chatas, specifically the chatois apnimiyos. The second Mishnah continues discussing a korban chatas, but we turn our attention from the chatois ha-primiyos to the chatois ha-chitzoinios. Ok, the Mishnah, chatois ha-tzibur ve-ha-yochid, the chatois ha-tzibur and the chatos yochid that were brought on the Mizbeach ha-chitzoin were also considered kachi kadoshim, eloin chatois ha-tzibur. What are examples of chatois ha-tzibur that were brought on the Mizbeach ha-chitzoin? Seirei roshi chadoshim ve-shomayadis, the seirim, the goats that were brought together with the musafin on Rosh Chodesh, and together with the Musafin that were brought on Yontif, they were Chatois HaTzibur, they were also Chatois HaChitzoinios, and they're the next thing that the Mishnah is going to discuss. What's the halacha? Shchitasim B'tzafin, the Kibul Daman, B'Klisharis B'tzafin. That's the halacha of all Kachi Kadashin. The Daman Ton, Arba Matonois, Al Arba Karnois. Additionally, you had to do four Zrikois, or four Hazois, with the Dam. Where were they? They were put on the four Karnois on the Mizbeach. Ketzad, Ola Bekevesh, the Koyein would go up the ramp, Upana L'Soyviv, and he would turn towards the Soyviv. Now, we're all familiar with the Kevesh, the ramp that led up to the Mizbeach. But in addition to the one big ramp, there were also two side ramps that shot off the main ramp, and those ramps led to the Soyviv, which was a little ledge. Rashi says it was an indentation inside of the Mizbeach, six amos high, that allowed the Kohen to circle to walk around the Mizbeach. So, Allah Bakevesh, upon the Soyvi, would go on to the Soyvi, Uvalu the Karen, Dremis Mizrachis. The first corner of the Mizbeach that he would come to is Dremis Mizrachis. From there, he would go to Mizrachis, Tzafoinis, Tzafoinis, Maravis, Maravis, Dremis. And at each one of these Karnois, each one of these corners, loosely translated, we'll see more in the Gemara, he would go and he would do a Zrik. Shari Adam, when he had leftover blood, Hayashaytach al Yisoid, Dremis, he would pour it into the Yisoid, but not the Yisoid Hamar Ravi, which was what the Kohen would do with the Shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimiyos. Now he would pour it into the Yisoid Deroimus. More about that in the Gemara. The Necholin, a Karban Chatos, was Nechol to the Kohanim. Where did it have to be eaten? With Fnimin HaKlon, inside the Azara. Lezichrei Kohuna, meaning there was no Chelik that was Nechol Abaylam. Additionally, a Bas Kohen couldn't eat it. So there were two criteria. Number one, you had to be a male. You had to be a Zachar. Number two, you had to be a Kohen. Bechol Meichel, you could eat it any way you want. That's in contrast to the Karban Pesach that had to be Tzli, that had to be roasted. Liyoyim V'laylo, you had a day and a night to eat it. Ad Chatzois, even that, you didn't have a full night, you're only able to eat it until Chatzois. So the Mishnah gives us a whole smorgasbord of halachas that relate to the Chatois HaChitzoinios, the Chatois HaTzibur, and the Chatois Yoch. Just a few things, commentary on the Mishnah. Number one, the Mishnah gave examples of Chatois HaTzibur, Seirei Roshi Chadashim V'Shalmayadis. So on Rosh Chodesh, there was a Karban Musaf that was brought. Part of the Karban Musaf that was brought on Rosh Chodesh involved a Sa'ir, a goat, that was brought as a Karban Chatas. On all the Yamim Tovim, there were Musafim that were brought. Part of the Musafim that were brought on Yantav also was a Sa'ir that was brought as a Karban Chatas. What's noticeably missing is Shabbos. Shabbos also a Karban Musaf was brought. It doesn't say the Seirei Shabbos. The reason is because on Shabbos, there was no Chatas. When the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas tells us what the Karban Musaf looked like on Shabbos, you say it every Shabbos in Musaf. V'yayim ha-Shabbos shnei kvasim v'nei shana t'mimim u'shnei esroinim soilis mincha balula b'ashem v'niskai. So what did they bring? Two kvasim, two shepsalach b'nei shana t'mimim. Oilas Shabbos b'shabbatoy al oilas atomit v'niskai. Meaning in addition to the two kvasim that were brought every single day, that was the carbon tomit. So on Shabbos you brought an additional. That's al oilas atomit. In addition to the oilas atomit, now there's this oilas Shabbos b'shabbatoy. All it was a carbon oil. If you go through every other carbon musaf that was brought, all mentioned in the Parshas Pinchas, Uvarashi Chadshechem Takrivu Oyla Lashem, Parim B'nei Bakashnai, Vayel Echad, Kvasim B'nei Shona Shiva Tamimim. It was a much larger cocktail of Karbanis. And then at the very end, it says, V'seir Izem Echad L'chatos Lashem, Aloyla Satomim V'niskai. And every single Yontif, the Torah chazes over again, that in addition to the Oylois that were brought, Seir Izem Echad L'chaper Aleichem, there was always going to be a Karban Chatos that was going to be involved. What was this Karban Chatos Mechaper on? I would say every chatas was mechaper, but now, after learning zvachim for about 50 days, we know that's not true. The word chatoi is the word mechaper, the chatos mitzayra, the chatos nazar, the chatos nachshoyim. But stam carbon chatos was a mechaper. So what was a mechaper for? So that's the first mission of Masech Shavuos. It was mechaper for tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. So if somebody was tummy and he ate kachim, or if somebody was tummy and he entered the Beis HaMikdash, depending on what level of shoygig he was. He knew, he didn't know, he forgot, he almost knew, he thought he knew. All the different variables that are discussed in detail in that first Mishnah Masech Shavuos, a Sa'ir on Rosh Chodesh or on Yontif, or even the Sa'ir that was brought in Yom Kippur, even the Pariyoy Makipurim, the Iker Kapara, of all these Chatois that were brought on the Moyadim, were for Tumas Mikdash for Kaddish. In fact, Yom Kippur, the only thing that was brought to be mechaper for the other Averis was the Sar Lazazel. So the Sar Lashem and the Pyre and all the Viduyim, everything was be'ikr for Tumas Mikdash for Kaddishav. In Sech Teshvuas, we spoke out an idea, a thought of maybe why that was. I think it's a rape bite. But the bottom line is that the Seirei Rashi Chadashim and the Mayades came primarily for Tumas Mikdash for Kaddishav. Shabbos isn't mentioned because even though there was a Musaf on Shabbos, but there was no Sawyer on Shabbos. Additionally, the Mishnah discusses that when the Kayans doing these hazois for the carbon chatos, he had to do one for each karen. And the Mishnah describes exactly how he would do it. So he would go up the ramp, he would go onto the soiviv, that's this ledge, and he would come to karen dreimis mizrachis, mizrachis tzvoinis, tzvoinis maravis. So what's the reason for it? Why do you have to do it in this order? Clockwise, counterclockwise, right? Why couldn't he do it in a different order? So Rashi says it's based on the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, where the Gemara says, it's also later, Samach Beis, Amid Beis, Kol pinoi sha'at kapoyne, yu derech yamin. That every time the kohen turned in the Azor, he always had to make right turns. There were no left turns. So he always had to make a right turn. So being that he always had to make a right turn, additionally, he always had to be facing the Mizbeach. Couldn't have his back to the Mizbeach. So if you just do the math, if he's facing the Mizbeach, and he's only taking rights, what's going to have to happen is he's going to have to do it in this order that it was done. Either way, there's some more ha'aris, but let's learn a little bit more gemaris. Says the gemar that the carbon chatos required arba matanois, al arba karnas. Zok the gemara hechi yavid. How exactly did he do it? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. It was a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Machlokes. Amar Chadam. One said noisen ama elach. The ama elach. One says that even though the word karen literally usually means corner, the kohen didn't have to get it exactly on the corner. Didn't have to be mamish on the spitz on what the gemara refers to chuda shel karen. Didn't have to be literally on that corner. But as long as you get it within an ama this side or an ama that side, that's going to be enough. Chadam on the other amayra said no. Machata v'yoyrid keneged chuda shel karen. You have to try to get it on chuda shel karen. It was ma'akev for it to be literally on the corner. Says the gemara alibed the rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon. According to rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon. The Amar who said he atzma in nasis ela begufa shal keren the kuliyam aloy plik. Coin Rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon that said that the definition of keren that the Torah says regarding chatas is not the corner but rather the horn. That's the horn that was protruding on the four corners of the mizbeach on top. The kuliyam aloy plik. There's no machlokes. Meaning everybody agrees that it doesn't have to be on the corner. Everybody agrees it could be anywhere on that horn. We'll explain that in a minute. Keep leaky. The machlokes is leave it to Rabbi. According to Rabbi, that holds that when it says karnos, it doesn't necessarily mean horn, but rather it could mean the corner. Oh, it doesn't have to be on the horn. It could be on the corner. What's the definition of corner? Mar Savar, one held Amma Elach, the Amma Elach Keneged Karenu. Mar Savar, the other one said no. Within an Amma is not considered the corner. Keneged Chuda in, it has to be literally on the corner. Tfei Loi, otherwise not. So the Gemara begins this sugya of exactly where the Hazav, the Karben Chattas, was with the Machlekes Amirah, but says that really it's totally in a Machlekes Tanam. So the Gemara presents it a little backwards. So let's, the background. There's a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi. When the Torah says that the hazois of the carbon chatas had to be on the four karnos hamizbeach, what does karen mean? You find the karen is a horn. Karnei re'im karnov. The re'im has its horns. A karen is a horn. Karen also means a corner. So literally, tarti b'mashba. There's two definitions. They're not the same thing. A horn and a corner is not the same thing. The mizbeach had horns, so to speak. The mizbeach also had a corner. The horns were the four horns that were sticking out on the four sides of the mizbeach. Each one was amma by amma. So it could be that when the Torah says that you should do the hazois on the karnos, it's referring to those four horns. Or maybe no, maybe it means the corner of the mizbeach. So that even though it's not on the horn, it's beneath the horn. As long as it's on the spitz, as long as it's on the corner, that's going to be enough. So which one does it mean? Machlek is tanam. Rabbi Elazar Rab Shimon says that it means the horn. He atzma inu nasis ela begufa shel karen. Rebbe said that it's either one. Tarti b'mashma. Karnois could mean horn. Tarnois could mean the corner. And either one would be a kiyum of karnois. And either one would be considered a kasher azah, would be a kasher azik. Says the Gemara, this machloikis amirot, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, whether it had to be on the spitz, on chudesh al keret, or it could be within an amma, and that alone is going to be enough. That's all Aliba the Rebbe. According to Rebbe, that says that it doesn't have to be on the horn, but it could be beneath the horn as well. So there we have a machloikis. Beneath the horn is within an amma enough, or does it have to be connected chudesh al keret? But according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, that says that it had to be literally on the horn, over there it doesn't matter where on the horn it's going to be. Why? As far as pasha, because the kiyum of karnois, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, is the fact that it's on the horn. It has nothing to do with corner. It has to do with horns. Anywhere on the horn. Who cares if it's on the left side, the right side, top, bottom? It's irrelevant. The kiyum of what the Torah told you to do is by getting it on that horn. Anywhere that I get it on the horn, it's going to be fine. The question is where it's not on the horn. It's beneath the horn. But it's still shayach to be a kiyum of karnois. Why? Because karnois is tarti b'mashma, it could also mean the corner. So that's the question. Does the corner mean literally the spitz, chudei shel karen, or as long as I get it within an amma, that's going to be enough? That was this machlekes amira. Says the Gemara, how could it be a machlekes amira? Meisvi, I'll ask you a kasha from a braisa that mirrors our mishnah. He would go up the kevesh, he would go onto this ledge, the soiviv, who volley the karen dreimis mizrachis. He would go first to dreimis mizrachis. Again, he has to make a right turn. V'toivel batzbay hayamonis. He would take his forefinger on his right hand, that's the finger next to your thumb, he would betoivel his finger into the blood, so the Mishnah describes that he would take his thumb and then his etzpa ketana and position them in a way next to his forefinger to make sure that the blood that he has on his forefinger that he just was toivel doesn't fall off. So he just has to make sure that he keeps the blood on his finger. And then he would do the hazah. How would he do it? He would put it on the chudesh al keren. Until all the dam on his etzba got off. But what do you see from this braisa? We need one part of this braisa, one excerpt that's relevant to us right now. And that is, kineged chudesh al keren. It's mefurish. So how could it be a machlekes amiram, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar? Whether it had to be b'chudesh al keren, it didn't have to be b'chudesh al keren. It's a mefurish braisa that it had to be b'chudesh al keren. So the Gemara says, hachi komar, the braisa is not a kasha. Mitzvah b'chudah. It's true. In the braisa, you see that there's a mitzvah, there's an idea for it to be b'chudesh al keren. But it doesn't mean that it's ma'akev. Meaning, both amiram that were arguing whether or not you need chudesh al Karen agreed that l'katchila there's an Indian of chudesh al Karen. They were arguing whether it's ma'ak. What if you didn't do it with chudesh al Karen? Is it still going to be okay or is it not going to be okay? That was the shaila. Incidentally, another thing that you see in this braisa is that the way the hazor was done, it was done with the etzpa of the kayin. And that's in contrast to other karbanos, which were done with the mizrak itself. So ordinarily, when you think of zrika, the kayin did kabbalah, shchita kabbalah. He now brings this mizrak, the klisharis, that has the dam inside of it. He goes to the mizbeach and he yanks the klisharis, the mizrak, in the direction of the mizbeach, and that's how the zrika was done. The chatas was done differently. The chatas required tfilas etzba, the tovel etzboi badam, and then the kohen would take his finger and place it on the mizbeach. It's for that reason that he had to go up the ramp, and he had to be standing on the soivev, because being that you had to get it on the karnois, and you can't throw it with the mizrak, so if you could throw it, so it's possible to do it from standing on the floor. But if you have to do it with your finger, the mizbeach was 10 amas tall. So that's approximately 20 feet. So it's going to be, you have to be really, really tall to be able to do it, which is impossible. So it's for that reason he would have to go up the soivim, and that was the only way to make it work. The bottom line is, Zokhti Gemara Vaita, my Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, what's the Bekortes Machlokes Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon? When the Torah says that the chatas was put on the karnis on mizbeach, does it mean the horns of the mizbeach, or does it mean the corner of the mizbeach? The tiny we learned to the Braise, Dabim El Yoinim, Nitonim, Michutas Sikra, Ula Maila, all dam that went on the upper part of the mizbeach, which usually includes the carbon chatas, which had to be on the karnois, and the ulas ha'oif, which also had to be l'mayla. By the way, the chatas ha'oif was always brought l'mata. So, damem el yoinim, nitanim michut ha'sikra l'mayla. Damem ha'tachtoinim, nitanim michut ha'sikra l'mata. So, there was a chut ha'sikra, the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about it in a minute. That was a red string, so to speak, that encircled the mizbeach. It was at the midway point of the mizbeach. So the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall, so it was at the 5 amma point of the Mizbeach. It encircled the Mizbeach. So when we talk about Domim al-Yoinim, says the Braisa, it means, what does al-Yoinim mean? higher than what? L'mayla michot ha-sikra. And when we talk about the davar matachtoinim, it means l'mata michot ha-sikra. Divrei Rebbe. Let's Rebbe Shimon Oimer, b'medvar ma'amurim ba'ilosai. That's not entirely true. When you say davar ma'al-yoinim, it's enough that it's l'mayla michot ha-sikra. That's only true for the oilosaif. Avol b'chatas behema. Chatas behema, it's not enough that you bring the l'mayla michot ha-sikra. He adds me'inasas ela al-gufa shal karen. It has to be on the horn of the karen. This is the machlokes. So when the Gemara said that the machlokes Rav Yoichanan and Rabbi Elazar is all Aliba the Rebbe who argues with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. My Rebbe, my Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. What's the source to this machlokes at Tanoim? It's the price that the Gemara just support. Amar Avo, my time of the Rebbe. What's pshat in Rebbe? Rebbe who holds that when it says karnes, it doesn't mean the horns necessarily, but it means the corner. The chsif, he learned it from a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk says v'haharil arba amos umeho ariel ulamayla hakronos. Arba. Now the haharel that's mentioned in that pasuk Yecheskel Mem Gimel is referring to the mizbeach. So it says the mizbeach was four ames. Fake the Gemara arba ames. Who the hava? No, it wasn't. It was 10 ames the mizbeach. Why does it say four ames? Amrav adabarahava mokim karnois arba. It means that the mokim of the karnois took up four ames. But the Gemara says, is that true? Meaning, at first glance, maybe it is true. If each karen was an ama by an ama. So 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, back of the envelope arithmetic. But the Gemara says that's really not true. Because if you take the four karnois and you line them up, what you're going to have is a 2 by 2 block. And arba sounds like 4 by 4. And really it's only 2 by 2. Because it's one amma, you line them up. One amma, one amma. What you end up with is 2 by 2. So the Gemara says, Mokum karnois dalet havya, also bitmia, ele'ema, rishus karnois dalet. What it must mean is the rishus, the area that's considered karnois is four amas. And the cheshbin is because you had the mizbeach was 10 amas tall. The horn itself was one amma. That means the area beneath the karen was 9 amas. Going from the bottom up, 5 amas up, there was a chut ha-sikra, which means there's 4 amas between the chut ha-sikra and the karen. That's the area that's not the karen itself. It's the mokka na karen. It's l'mayla mi-chut ha-sikra. And that entire area is a chashivos as it relates to Zrika of a karben chatas. But the bottom line is you want to know where Rebbe saw this idea that karnois is not just the corner, but there's a mokum karnois of dalet amos. That's how he understood this pasuk. Because you know what it meant? The haharil arba amos. What does it mean that it's four amos? It must be referring to the mokum, that area that's considered karnois as it relates to the hazois of chatas behema. So we mentioned the chut ha-sikra. Sokti gemara tanan hasam. We learned in the Mishnah chut shal sikra chaygre be'emtza. There was a chut ha-sikra, this red string that was be'emtza mizbeach. The purpose of it was lahabdul bein domim el yoinim ledomim matachtoim. No, I need to be the Amar Katina Shenema. Because you find the Mishkan had something similar. The Mishkan says, "Vahoyso hareshes ad chatzi hamizbeach." There was a reshes made out of nechoshes that was at the midway point of the mizbeach. That was on the Mishkan. So you see that the Mishkan had a similar patent, something similar to this chut ha-sikra. It wasn't a chut ha-sikra, it was something else. It was a reshes, it's like a screen made out of nechoshes that was by chatzi hamizbeach. Nitna mechitza lehavdu medom yom. What was the purpose of it? Probably for the same thing, because certain karbonis have to go lamata. Certain karbonis have to go lamaila. Lamata from what? Lamaila from what? There had to be something there. So what you had there was this reshes. So that wasn't the Mishkan. As related to the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't a Mishkan. As related to the Beis HaMikdash, it was a chut ha-sikra. Shiori Adam. So the Mishnah said, what did the Kohen do with the shirayim of the Karban Chatas that was born in the Mizbeach HaChitzoy? So the Mishnah said, what he did with it was, ha-yeshoifeich al-yesoid deroimus. And that's in contrast to what the first Mishnah of the Perek said, that what did the Kohen do with the shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimiyos? Not the yesoid deroimus, but rather the yesoid marovus. Tanu Rabbanan Abrais. El yesoid mizbeach, ze yesoid deroimi. Atoim ze yesoid deroimi, ayin el yesoid marovi. Maybe it should be the yesoid marovi. Meaning it doesn't say anywhere yesoid deroimi. It just says the yesoid mizbeach. We're assuming that the carbon chattas that went on the mizbeach achitzai, that how do you go on the yesoid, went on the Yisoid Neravi. Maybe not. Maybe Yisoid Neravi. And it's more than just maybe not. More than just Mechatesva. It's for you, Mitzasim, and Amifurish. I'll tell you why it makes sense that it should be the Yisoid Hamaravi. Because we had a limud, the Gemara brought a pasuk on Daf Nun Aleph Amin Aleph to tell me how I know that the Hazois of the Chatois Hapnimis, Shirayim, ended up going on the Yisoid Neravi. Because it said that it's supposed to go on the Yisoid that was Pesach Oyel Moed. So Pesach Oyel Moed means the Kohen walks out. The Pesach Oyel Moed is going to be the one that's facing him, which is the Meiruf side of the Mizbeach. So maybe Yilmud Sosim and Amafurish. By the Chatois HaPinimiyos, it says Mefurish where the Shvichas Yiraim is supposed to go. By the Chatois Chitzoniyos, it doesn't say. So doesn't it make sense to learn Sosim, Chatois HaChitzoniyos, Ben Amafurish, Chatois HaPinimiyos, so that both should be on the Yisoid HaMarovis? The Gemara says Amrit. No. We are going to learn Sosim and Amufurish, but not say, if this was on the Yisayid HaMaravi, this should be on the Yisayid HaMaravi. Zilbasar Taimo. Let's try to understand the halacha a little bit better. Let's understand the methodology. Why is it that Karbin Chatois HaPrimiyos Shirayim went on the Yisayid HaMaravi? Because that was the first one that he encountered after he did the Zrika. The Zrika was not in the Heichel. So the Kohen finishes doing the Zrika. He now exits the Heichel. He exits the Ulam. He comes towards the Mizbech HaChitzan where he's going to do the Shvicha Shirayim. And what hits him? The western wall of the Mizbech. That's what he sees. He sees the Yisrael HaMaravi. So that's why you do it there. The same is going to be true as it relates to the Chatos Chitzan. When the Kohen comes down the ramp, so if you understand just the way that the Kohen travels on the Mizbeach, the ramp that he's going to come down and eventually come to the Yisoid, the first Yisoid that he's going to hit is the Yisoid Deroid. Oh, that's the first one that he's going to hit. That's the one you're supposed to do it. So it is Sosim and Amufurish. Sosim and Amufurish, the first one that he encounters. So in the Stam Mishnah, we have the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak that says, we have the second Mishnah here in the parak that says that the Shirayim of Chatois Chitzoid went on the Yisoid Deroimi, stating that there's a Braisa that brings other opinions. Tanya B'shmol Boim, as ever, Yisoid Maravi, both the Chatois HaPnimiyos and the Chatois Chitzoniyos all went on the Yisoid Maravi. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, as ever, Yisoid Deroimi, they all went on the Yisoid Deroimi. Bishlam the Mandam, Yisoid Maravi, Bishlam the Mandam, that says Yisoid Maravi, Rav Shimon, Kosov Yomud, Sosim and Amufurish. He holds that it says Mufurish, Yisoid Maravi, Al Pesach Yomoy by the Chatois HaPnimiyos. Sosim and Amufurish says, just like that's Yisoid Maravi. This is Yisoid Maravi, like the Gemara asked in the Kasha. Ella the Mandam Yisoid Deroimi. But according to the Mandam, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, that says they both went on the Yisoid Deroimi. My time, what's the source for both going on the Yisoid Deroimi? Amrav Asik, Sava Haitano, Kul Mizbeach, Bitsofen Koi. Rabbi Shimon Yochai held that the entire Mizbeach was in Sofen. Meaning, usually, you understand, based on the opinion of most Tanoim, the Mizbeach blocked, not didn't literally block it, but it blocked the entrance of the Ulam. So when the Kohen exited the Heichal and Ulam, so he would see the Meiruf side of the Mizbeach. As a result, the first Yisoid that he encountered would be the Yisoid Maravi. There is a Mandama, however, that holds that the Mizbeach was completely to the northern side of the Azara, which means that when the Kohen exited from the Ulam, he didn't hit the Meiruv wall of the Mizbeach. He would have to turn towards Tzofen to see it. So he's going to walk out of the Ulam. He's going to turn towards Tzofen. He's going to see the southern, the Darim side of the Mizbeach, which means the first Yisoid that he's going to come to is actually the Yisoid Deroimi. That's why when the Shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimiyos went on the Yisoid Deroimi, V'yilmud Sosim and Amufurish, it's for that reason as well that the Shirayim of the Chatois Chitzonius is going to be on the Yisoid Deroimi as well. Lishnachrina kulu pesach bedarim kai. Lishnachrina, it's the same thing. Meaning that the Mizbeach was completely on the Tzofen side. As a result, the first Yisoid that he's going to encounter is the Yisoid Deroimi. Tanit Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Oimrim, and Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they had a different version of what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai held. Meaning the price that we just mentioned, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Deroimi. That all the Shirayim, whether it's from the Chatois HaPnimiyos or the Chatois Chitzonius, was all on the Yisoid Deroimi. Rabbi Shmuel said, no, Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi. That even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds, they're both on the Yisoid Maravi. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel was the one in the Braisa that said, Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi. Shimon Bar Yochai argued. But Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they held, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai really didn't argue. So they used to say that, no, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds like us. A good way to remember it is Mishchu Gavra Legavra. You want to know who it is that held, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai really held, Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi? It's the one that holds Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi. Who's the one that holds Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi? Rabbi Shmuel. So he himself was Moshech Gavra Legavra. He brought Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai onto his team. He held him. No, he also holds like me. He also holds Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi. So before we start the next Mishnah, just one other aura. That is, so the Mishnah was discussing more halachas regarding the Karban Chatos. And one of the things the Mishnah said was, V'necholin lifnim min akloin, that the Karban Chatos was eaten, but it had to be eaten lifnim min akloin. Loosely translated, means it had to be eaten in the Azara. So Kachin Kalin could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. As opposed to Kachin Kadashim, that had to be eaten dafka koyhanim, zichrei kuhuna. It also had to be eaten dafka in the Azara. I saw that Teferis Yisrael, in his Yochanan Ubayaz, asks, why did the Mishnah say, Lefnimin HaKloyim? Kloyim literally means curtains. There were no curtains in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chaymes HaAzara were walls. They were Chaymes HaAzara. Remember, we discussed the Shiloh, whether the Kaisel HaMaravi, the Kaisel, is it the Chaymes HaAzara, or is it the Chaym of the Harabayas? But that's Be'erich, what the Chaymes HaAzara looked like. It looked like the Kaisel HaMaravi. It was a wall. It's not Kloyim. Where were the klon? In the Mishkan, there were klon. But the Tana of the Mishkan is not discussing the halachas in the Mishkan. The Tana of the Mishkan is discussing the halachas in the Beis HaMikdash. So why does the Mishnah say, it's a subtle deal, but why does the Mishnah say, v'necholim lifnim in haklaim? It's true. In the times of the Mishkan, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, before they had a Beis HaMikdash, for those 40 years, so if a Kohen was going to eat Kachi Gadashim, it would be true. He'd have to eat it within him in that Kohen, within the curtains that surrounded the Chatzar of the Mishkan. But in the Beis HaMikdash, L'chura, it's Chaymais. So what the Mishnah should have said, it has to be eaten in the Azara. Where do you find this Lashon of Lefnim in HaKloyim? So the Tveretz Yisrael says two Mahalchim. The second Mahalchim he says as follows. Oid nearly, the Muchach Mikan. It's a raya from this, the kol perik zeh, mide'ein boi machloikis, being that there's no machloikis in perik zeh on mekoyman, who beloshein mamish, kemoshe nimsolonu mimoshe rabbeinu olav ha-shalom yisinai. This perik is literally word for word verbatim the way Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the Yidden on Har Sinai. Ulahachi nokat kloim, and that's why it says kloim. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu said over this halacha, he wasn't discussing Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi. He was discussing the Mishkan, and the Mishkan had kloim, and that's why, being that we're just quoting the Mishnah verbatim, we say lefnim in hakloim because that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu gave. As I state in the Pharisee Straw, that this Mishnah we have word for word from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says this over with regards to the Mishkan. The Mishnah had Kloy, not Chaymais. That's why it doesn't say Lefnim in Hazara. It's that reason that it says. But the Pharisee Straw begins by prefacing it and saying, the Muchach Mikan, the Kol Perik Zeh, Mide'ein Boi Machlekes. What does that mean? That there's no Machlekes in Perik Zeh or Mekhaymais. So the background to that is the Halach and Shulchan Aruch, the Tor, and the Mechaber in Eir Chaim Simin Nun say, Kavu lishnois acha parshas atomid perik ezel mekayman ubraisa the Rabbi Shmuel. So there are people that have the minik. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Every morning you say korbanos the parshas atomid. Afterwards you say the mishnayos of the perik that we're learning right now. Perik ezel mekayman ubraisa the Rabbi Shmuel loymer. What's the reason for it? Kadesha yiska kol adam lumay b'chol yoy. So a person should learn every day mikra. Mishnah Gemara. So the Parashas HaTomid, that's Mikra. Perek Yezel Mekoyman is Mishnah, and Rabbi Shmuel is a Braisa. That's Gemara. The Mechaber says, the Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel, Havim, Mokhim Gemara, Shav Medrash Gemara. That's the reason that every day we say these things. Incidentally, it's based on the Gemara Masechtas Kedusha, where the Gemara says, L'Olam Yishana Adam Talmudai. A person should divide his learning into three groups. Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. And Tosfos over there famously says that today we learn Gemara, and Gemara being that it's Bolol, it's mixed with Psukim, and you have Mishnayis, and you have Brises, and you have Gemaras, you have Avayis Dabayi Verava, you have Raid, right? That's the Gemara that we learn, and as a result, it's all included. So you could be Yaitza everything by learning Gemara. But that's what the Mechaber says, that for a person that doesn't do Daf Yomi, a person that maybe doesn't learn a blot Gemara every day, so what should he do? He should learn. Is Parshas HaTomid, Perik Ezeo Mekoyman, Uprise the Rabbi Yishma. The purpose is you have Mikra, you have Mishnah in Gemara. Says the Beis Yosef, that I saw B'Shem Dura'ah, that why did they pick Perek Ezel Mekoyman? They couldn't pick another Perek. It says, because if you go through Perek Ezel Mekoyman, there isn't one Machloikis mentioned in the Perek, which is very, very rare. So you have a Perek in Shas of Mishnayis that doesn't have one Machloikis. And being that there's no Machloikis, and it's also been Yoni HaKarbonos, and there's an Indian to say the Parsha of Karbonos every day, because Kaloisif Beteris, Oilok, Hilok, Revoil, etc., etc. So it has these two Milas. Number one, it's Kachim. So learn Kachim every day. Number two, there's no Machloikis. Being that there's no Machloikis, we picked it every day. Why? What does no Machloikis have to do with anything? Because that means that the Mesoira is Borer. There's a clearer Mesoira with regards to Perek Ezel Mekoyman than there is with regards to everything else. So it's a klara Mishnah. It's literally Halacha L'Moshe Misinai in such a clear way. It's for that reason that it's mentioned. The Vilna Goyin and Bir Agra, and this Halacha brings this idea. And the Goyin's Lashon is the Ubacharu Be'elu Mishum Shehem Minyoni HaKarbonos Ukelula Shom Kol HaKarbonos V'Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Berura. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Berura. There's a certain Berura in this perik than there is versus other program. That's what the Tveres Yisrael was referring to. Now the Beis Yosef brings up a shame the Ra. It's interesting. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Ra. The Ritva in the Sechtes Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutes Amid Beis, brings this b'shem his Rebbe as well. He says that his Rebbe said that But then the Ritva asks Akash. He says, is that true? Is there no machloikis of Perek Yezel Mekayman? The end of Perek Yezel Mekayman, the Mishnah discusses the Korban Pesach. And it says that the Korban Pesach was Nechal Ad Chatzos. Fake the Ritva, it's really machloikis. Machloikis Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Whether the Korban Pesach was only Nechal Ad Chatzos, or whether the Korban Pesach was Nechal Kol HaLayit. How could you say that there's no machloikis? There is a machloikis. Teretz is, you have to say, that even though there's machloikis, but the machloikis is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Meaning it's true. That Mishnah, that's Stam Mishnah is going according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah that holds it's Nechalat Chatzos, which incidentally a lot of Rishonim hold that Loch is not like it. That's the Avnei Nezer we spoke on Shavuos night with eating Gafi Koymen up to Chatzos, really a Sofik because it's totally in the Shiloh. But the bottom line is that in the Mishnah itself there's no Machloikis. And being that in the Mishnah itself there's no Machloikis, that's why it's not going to be a problem. Yedidi Rav Shmuel Reuven Grossman, so he sent me a nice shtickle on this last night. The emes is that Ritva asked from Korban Pesach, but there's other Ha'aras as well. The Mishnah said right in the beginning of the Perek that there was a mitzvah of Shvicha Shirayim, Ve'im loy nosan loy ikev. In other words, Shirayim loy makvi. Yesterday's daf. Machlekes in the Gemara. It's not true. The man d'amrim that hold that Shirayim is makvi. The Mishnah in the beginning of the parak said that where did the Shirayim of Chatoyis HaPnimiyus go? They went on the Yisoid of Maravi. The Mishnah we just learned said, where did the Shirayim go? They went on the Yisoid the Raimi. We just learned the Gemara a moment ago. Where the Gemara brought some Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, they both went on the Yisoid Deraimi. They both went on the Yisoid Meravi. So again, you see it's been Machlokes Shnuri. Not everybody agrees with that, but it's the same Teretz. The Teretz is true. There are certain things that are said in Perek Yezeh and Mekayman that are Machlokes Shnuri. But at the same time, even though they've been machloikis shnuya, the machloikis isn't mentioned in the Mishnah. It's a little schwer because Pasha, you understand. What's the punchline? It's halacha brura, like the Vilna Gaon says. It's clear. That means if this is what it says in this Mishnah, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. I mean, Tiferes Yisrael takes it to the extreme. He says that's why it said kloyim, and it didn't say azara, because this is exactly the way Moshe presented. If Moshe Rabbeinu said ad chatzais, so how could it be a Rabbi Akiva that says kol alayla? Elu ve'elu divrei likim chayim. This is all above my pay grade, but the bottom line is just one ha'ara based on a subtle diak in a Mishnah. Chutz min haklav, l'chur, it should have been the azara. Either way, zok the Mishnah vayta oila, kachi kadashim. So we go from the carbon chatos to the carbon oilas. It says the Mishnah, number one, you should know that the carbon oilas kachi kadashim. As a result, shchitasa b'tzafoin, the kibul dama b'klisharis b'tzafoin. I saw in the beginning of the perek that the Iker halacha of tzafin is said not by the chatas, it's said by the oila. So much so that the Gemara asked the kasha, why does the perek start with the chatas? It should have started with the oila. The dam and ta'in shtei matonis shein arba. The way the zrika of the carbon oila was, it wasn't four matonis on the four karnois, but rather it was done differently. It was shtayin shein arba. We'll see what that means in a moment. Utuna hefshit. The carbon oila had to be skinned, the animal, after the shchita. The nituach, then it had to be chopped up. The kol of the ishan, then it was completely burnt. It was consumed entirely by the mizbech. Says the Gemara, oila my time eternally kachi gadashim. Why does the Mishnah have to say that the oila was kachi gadashim? It doesn't say the chatos is kachi gadashim. The asham is kachi gadashim. Ha oila kachi gadashim. Don't we know that? So the Gemara says, we actually don't, ironically. Shouldn't be like sivba kachi gadashim ho? Interesting. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that the oil is kachi gadashim. It says that chatos is kachi gadashim, the mincha is kachi gadashim, the ashim. It doesn't say that the oil is kachi gadashim. Stating that Chazal knew it was kachi gadashim. Frank Rashi, how did they know? Maybe it's not kachi gadashim. So Rashi says if it's kulei kolo, it must be that it's kachi gadashim. But regardless, being that the pasuk doesn't say that it's kachi gadashim, so that's why the Mishnah felt that it had to emphasize that her oila is also kachi gadashim. The daman ton shnei matano shein abehechi of it. How do you do the zrika of the carbon? Rav said noisein v'chayzer v'noisein. He would go to the two of the four corners, and on each side of the corner of the mizbeach, he would do a zrika. One on this side, one on that side. Then he would go to the other side of his mizbeach. One on this side, and one on that side. Which sides did he have to be on? So he had to make sure that he was keneged hayesoid. Right? The Gemara said, kal v'chomer from shvicha shirayim. Ma shirayim she'en ma'akvin has a din yesoid. So tchilas oila she'ma'akev, it's mechaper. Certainly it requires yesoid. So he'd go to two of the corners of the mizbeach, and on each side, he would do azal. But the way Rav explains it is, it's noisein v'chayze v'noisein. So it's really four matanos. Meaning on each side he would be noisein v'noisein, go to another corner and again he would be noisein v'noisein. So he's really doing four zrikas. So why is it shtayim? Because he's going to be on two corners. He has to be keneged ayisai. He can't just be on the four walls. Because there were sides Deroimis Mizrochis that didn't have a Yesoid. So you have to be connected at Yesoid. That's why it's going to be Shtayim. You have to be standing in two areas. There's only two areas where you could do this, where you can connect at Yesoid. But at the end of the day, there's going to be four Matana. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says no. You know why it's Shtayim Shein Arba? Because it's Matana Achas Kemin Gamma. Noisin, meaning it was two zrikas, but he did the two zrikas connected the corner. So he did it in a way that each zrika would divide into two. It would divide like the Greek letter gamma, meaning on each side, on each wall, you would have this Greek letter gamma, which Rashi said is similar to our endachaf. But the bottom line is that's the way you would do it. So according to Rav, there were actually four zrikas. According to Shmuel, it's two zrikas. That's the shtayin sheinah. But the Gemara says ketano. It's really machlek ketano. Two prices. The first price, Yochi Zrikana Zrika Achas. I would have thought that the Oibel should have one Zrika. Talmud Loi Mar Saviv. It says Saviv. You can't do one Zrika and get it onto the four walls of the Mizbech. Is Saviv. Based on Saviv, Yochi Yakifenu Kachot. I would think that it should be literally Saviv. Take your finger maybe and take it all the way around. Talmud Loi Mavazarko. It says you're not supposed to put your finger on the Mizbech. You're supposed to do a Zrika. Okay, it's that. How do you do that? Kamin Gamma, Shtei Matone Shein Arba. You do it Kamin Gamma. You do Shtayin Shein Arba. Each one divides Kamin Gamma. That's the way you're supposed to have it. This is a brisa that says Shmuel's halacha. Rabbi Shmuel said differently. Nema kan saviv, nema lalun sav. It says saviv by the carbon chatos. It says saviv by the carbon oit. Mal halon pisuk v'arbe matonis. Av kan pisuk v'arbe matonis. Just like by the carbon chatos, it was literally four azoyis. So to here, it's going to be four azoyis as well. Im mal halon arbe matonis al arbe karnois. If over there, it had to be on the four corners, maybe here too, av kan arbe matonis al arbe karnois. Amrit, oila tuni yisoy, v'kerem mizrachas, droim mizlohele yisoy. You can't do four on the four corners. Because like we said before, the oila requires yisoy. And there was a part, the Mizrachis Dreimis, didn't have a Yesoid. And being that it didn't have a Yesoid, it's not possible to do the oil on that side. You need four. The way you have the four is you stand on the corner, you put one on this side, you put one on that side, and that's the way it's going to work out. Regardless, we're going to stop here. Speak on a little more raid, but we're going to stop here. Tomorrow's daf is going to begin with a classic Gemara. It's going to end with a classic Gemara. It's a hashtag really nice daf. But for now, just one final R. So the machleik is Rav and Shmuel, which we saw as Tana. It's really a machleik is Tana of exactly how the Zrika of the carbon oil was done. The Mishnah says Shtayim Shein Arba. A little ambiguous. What does it mean, Shtayim Shein Arba? Is it two or is it four? So according to Rav, it's really four. It's just Shtayim in that you were standing by two corners because there was a din, you had to be connected at Yisoy. According to Shmuel, it's literally Shtayim Shein Arba. What you did was you would do this Zrika on the corner and you would get the dam to split, to divide in a way that it was Kamin Gamma on each one of the walls. What does this mean, Kamin Gamma? So Rashi says it's like the endachaf that we have in our alphabet. So our endachaf mirrors the Greek letter Gamma, and on each wall, because of the way the blood was divided by the corner, you're going to end up having Kamin Gamma. Shtel sich the shayla, a very obvious question here. That if the Greek letter Gamma, or Gamma, is similar to our letter endachaf, so why didn't Shmuel just say, like an endachaf? Why are we talking about Greek letters if we could talk about the ois endachaf? I mean, doesn't it make more sense for us to be talking about the endachaf than to talk about the Greek letter gamma? I'll just tell you something interesting, just to digress a little bit, and that is a fascinating tshuva from the Heilige Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rebbe. The Divrei Yoel was asked a question by one of the members of the Chevra Kadisha, and that is, he wanted to know that the cemetery, they put numbers on the matzevas. They put numbers on the matzevas simply so they should know which matzevas is which for their database, their computer system. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like this, they're able to identify certain matzevas. The shoyl asked the Satmar Rav, is it okay for a matzeva to have numbers on it? The number 1, the number 2, why not? It was based on a tshuva from the Maram Shik, where the Maram Shik wrote two tshuvas where he was very, very disturbed that he said he saw matzevas, and people would write on matzevas in other languages, languages other than Lashon Kodesh. And the Maram Shik was very, very upset about it. He said that a matzeva is a davar kodesh. It's related to the neshama. It's related to tchias amesim, a beis hakfaris, a yiddish a beis hakfaris is a makom kodesh. It's admas kodesh. And how could you take a language that's not lashon kodesh, a treifa language, and go ahead and write it on matzeva? So the shoyl wanted to know that if the Ram Shik was so bothered by people writing in English or Polish or Russian or Hungarian or whatever it was on these matzevas, so maybe you shouldn't write these numbers either. So instead of writing one, we should be makbid speak to the union, but you should talk to them and say, we don't want one, we want Aleph. We don't want two, we want Bay. We want 511, we want Tav, Kof, Yud. Right, let's go work it out and make sure that it's going to have the Osius HaKadoshis. You're writing it on Matzeva, you're writing it on Mokum Kodesh. That was the question that the Shoyal asked the Satmarov. And the Satmarov told him that I'm not asking. He said it's not an issue. And he has a very, very long tshuva. If you want to look it up, it's in Yerideya, tshuva Kuf Aleph. 101, pun intended. Either way, it's in Tshuva Kuf Aleph, and the Briyoyal over there is Meirich, and he brought many, many rayas that it's not an issue. He said, number one, he said, it's true that Ramshik wrote a Tshuva, and he said that a Beis HaKfaris is a Makom Kaddish, and a Matzev is a Makom Kaddish. He said, but it's not more Kaddish than a Beis HaKnesses, and then a Beis HaMedrash. And he says, if you look around the Beis HaKnesses, you can find numbers. You have a clock. Clock has numbers on it. Right, you have an address in front. So there are numbers. And he says, there were big tzaddikim that obviously with the Rabbanim, I'm sorry, the Marad Asras, and they davened in these shuls, and if they felt that it was wrong to have these trefa numbers, says these were Rabbanim that were kanoim, they would be very, very makbid if there was anything Belosh and Laz ever found in a Beis Medrash. And yet, this is something that they never had an issue with. Feistos, there's a nafgamina between letters, the actual language, and numbers. He says maybe the nafgamina is, he says, because a language is related to an Ummah, right? Every Ummah has its own language. Every Ummah also has a Sar and a Moshel in Shemayim. And that sar of these umois is treif, and as a result, it causes a certain tarfus in the language, so to speak. But he says numbers is an international language, right? Everyone knows what $100 is. That's international. And because it's international, as a result, it's not related to any one particular sar or moishel or mazel in Shemayim. As a result, it doesn't have the tumah. Regardless, said the Satmar Rav, you see clearly from the Bati Knesias or Bati Midrash, it's not a problem. So Beis HaKfaris has to be more common than a Beis HaKnesses. He says if nobody was ever makbid in a Beis HaKnesses to have something like this, I don't think you have to be makbid when it comes to something like that. Another raya he brings is from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He said Rabbi Yaakov Emden in a Siddur Yavetz talked about how bad it was that people would talk and speak or write and use shar l'shoynois shalaz. It was something that he was very makbid in. He says, yet if you go through the Siddur Yavetz, in the Siddur Yavetz you're going to find numbers. Page 107, 108. There are numbers in the Siddur Yavetz. And he says, we know Rabbi Yaakov Emden had his own printing press. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, incidentally, the history is he had to have his own printing press because of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yenis, and Eibishitz, and there was a lot of controversy. People didn't want to print the Svarim. Or people were printing his Svarim and they were claiming that he wrote things that he didn't really write, and he ended up getting a license to run his own printing press. He used to print his own Svarim. That's why the real Svarim collectors, Yaakov Emden's Svarim is a very, very hot commodity in the Svarim collecting world. So the real Svarim collectors, the Yoidei Dover, they'll pay a lot more money for a sefer that came from Yaakov Emden's own printing press versus some other one, because from an authenticity standpoint, if it came from Yaakov Emden's printing, you know it's authentic. So it's interesting. Satmar Rav said that the Siddur Yavetz came from Yaakov Emden's own printing press and there were numbers. So it's not like you're going to say some Talmud Toya did it. He micromanaged it. He knew exactly what was going on there. And there were numbers. He writes about other languages. He says, clearly, you see that there's a chilik between numbers and when it comes to languages. He says that the emes is that, I'll bring you a right, because there's a machlokes, there's a mishnah, Masech Tishkalin. The mishnah over there discusses that there were three kupois that were in the Beis HaMikdash that where they used to keep the Tishkalin. And there's a machlokes, what exactly it said on those kupois. One, Mandama, the Chachamim say, you know what it said? It said, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Very simple. Kupa Aleph, Kupa Beis, Kupa Gimel. That's how you are able to identify the three. But there's a Mandama that argues. He says that it didn't say Aleph, it said Alpha. And it didn't say Beis, it said Beta, right? And it didn't say three, it said Gamma. So it had the three Greek letters. This isn't the Beis HaMikdash. This is on the Kupa. Now you have to know why they did it that way. So obviously there was a Cheshbon, and he explains what the Cheshbon was. But at the end of the day, if it's not something you're allowed to do, they wouldn't have done it. So it's something that you find even in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you find it in the Beis HaMikdash, it was okay. And then, said the Satmar Rav, it could be even more than that. It could be, the Satmar Rav said, that not only is it okay to use numbers, it could be it's more like Katchila to use numbers. And he brings a beautiful Maramakim, and that is a Pischei Tshuva. It's in Yerideya. Hilchas Sefer Torah, in the end of Simen Reish Pei Gimel, the Pischei Tshuva says as follows. I quote: "V'ayim b'tshuvas divrei Yosef Simen Mem Aleph shekasav sheshama mipi moiroi Reb Shmuel difas the mitam ze kishemeis benoi, when his son died and he made a matzeva for his son loyoleno loyrotza lichtayv b'ksav Ashuri akina." So when he wrote the kina on the matzeva, he didn't want to write the kina b'ksav Ashuri. The k'sav Ashuri, that's the k'sav that the Sefer Torah is written in. Rather, elakasav oisa b'ksav shekoyren Rashi. And the reason is because he felt that k'sav Ashuri is so holy that he felt shouldn't be used for a matzeva. That he felt ksav ashuris should be miyuchad, it should be used for things, dvarim shel kedushin, but to go ahead and use ksav ashuri for a matzeva, he didn't want to use. So said the Sat Merav, a matzeva is a davar shel kodesh. Like we spoke after the Ramshik. Ramshik said in a tshuva, it bothered him that people use shalosh oinus. But and at the same time, the Pesachei tshuva brings that this tzaddik didn't want to write in a matzeva ksav ashuris because he felt that the ksav ashuris is miyuchad for kisvei kodesh, and he didn't want to use it for something that's not mamish kisvei kodesh. He didn't want to use it for a matzeva. So he says, you see, there's a sensitivity you have to have. You have to have a sensitivity when it comes to using lashon kodesh. Lashon Kodesh is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you want to use it, but at the same time, you can't defile it either. You can't use it as chulin. You can't treat it as a regular lashon. Samarov says that it's for that reason he believes that you find that the tzaddikim didn't speak lashon Kodesh. Why didn't they speak lashon Kodesh? So it brings from the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He says the reason must be because they didn't want to be mechal lashon Kodesh. They understood that, yeah, on the one hand, it's very nice to speak that lashon Kodesh. That's the lashon Hashem communicated with the Nevi'im with, right? It's a very chashuv lashon. But at the same time, to go ahead and use Lashon Kodesh to talk about business or other mundane things, so you have a sensitivity to that. And it's interesting, he brings from the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, it's an Evin Ezer Chelek Beis, it's Simen Yud Aleph. So the Chasam Sofer over there was discussing a get that came to him. The get came from the city of Pest, but the word Pest was pronounced wrong, or it was spelled wrong. And the Chasam Sofer was writing that he doesn't understand how they got it wrong, and Latin, and this and that. He goes through, it's an interesting Chasam Sofer. But then he says like this, just one excerpt. This is the part that the Divrei Yoel brought for his tshuva. The Kadmoinim, they knew how to speak language. You think they couldn't talk to you? They knew Kol Terukul. They couldn't speak English. I mean, they knew how to speak in Shal L'Shoynes. Ach be'kavonu shipshu al L'Shoynes. They purposely distorted the language sometimes with Negzeres Yudches Dovar, related to the Yudches Dvarim. Shabi Yushalmi Perikama de Shabbos. Fascinating. He says that we know the Yudches Dvarim, just like Mesach Zvay Dezar, not so long ago. So he had all these things that the Chabim said, Pasakum and Shemenakum and maybe Cholov and all these other things, that you have the Yudches Dvarim, these things that a Yid is supposed to keep shmirois and harchokos, you shouldn't get too close to the guy. So even the tzaddikim, he says, the kadmain and the chsan soif that knew how to speak Beloshen, they would sometimes distort it. So Freit de Vriel, I don't understand. They're speaking Beloshen laws, but they're distorting it. Because of this, from a cheshbin, because of the yud ches dvar, I mean, chsan soif says, speaking the Lashon of the Goyim is somehow related to the Yud Ches Dvar. But frankly, they were, why don't you speak Lashon Kodesh? It just makes much more sense. It's the Teretz is this. The Teretz has to be. They didn't want to speak Lashon Kodesh. It's a double-edged sword. See, he says, to write a Matseva, but Lashon Kodesh, he said, that's something I'm okay with. But to write the Numarim, the numbers, already, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Mechatesi, to go ahead and take the Hela Goisius and to use it for that, that's something that maybe he's not so okay with. It reminds me now, I remember that I once heard Chumashir from Avram Yeshua, so he was saying that somebody told him that there was a Mora somewhere in Bnei Brak, in a Ganenet. She was teaching the boys Aleph Beis, so they came to the letter Kuf. So she said she came in dressed up like a monkey, like a kuf, you know, like a monkey, and she was trying to get the kids to say the letter kuf. Needless to say, I'm sure wasn't happy about it. I still remember he was like, you know, jumping the way the monkey jumps. And I said, this is the way you teach boys Aleph Beis, and then they want to know years later why the kids don't want to learn Torah. Because in this kid's mind, he says, the Hela Goyis kuf is a mushroom for Yena Chayat Meir. Vayena kuf, Vayena kuf. That's what he's thinking about when he comes to the letter kuf. He says, let me tell you the way my father taught me Aleph Beis. He says, I still remember my father sat me down. And he said, "We get choyslel and aleph beis. Das the chav beis oisia. Shaboy nivru shemayim va'aretz. Das gemein the hele geois kuf. Nishta moshel of yena chayet meir."